This is Chris McGregor with information on how you can help Discerning Hearts continue our mission during our summer appeal. It costs $90,000 per year to keep things going, and praise God, we are over halfway there. Any donation, any amount, helps us to continue our work. Please prayerfully consider helping us. It's been a blessed year so far, thanks to the generosity of so many. We are funded 100% by those touched by the work of Discerning Hearts. So between now and August 15th, if you can help with a donation or with your prayers, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate by clicking on the link found on the discerninghearts.com website or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you, and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts.
DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who became a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
When Jesus is telling us about the love of his Father for all of mankind, God's love, the Father's love for all of us, he came down into the earth to tell us about how much the Father loves us. And there's nothing more beautiful than the 6th chapter of Matthew and the 24th to the 34th verses. These 10 verses, whatever you're going to do today, take a time today to pray this gospel. Open it up, and it has something for everyone, every one of us, to listen to what God is saying here, especially parents. Jesus is saying, basically, you cannot love God and mammon. What is that? I'm going to try and explain it today, what that means. What is the motivating drive of our lives? My dad used to say, them in Arabic, Albi al-Ibni, al-Ibni al-Hajr. And it was when we just didn't understand when he was trying to tell us how much he really loved us. Albi al-Ibni, al-Ibni al-Hajr. My heart is for my children, and my children's hearts are on stone. But what it meant was, I so love you when I'm doing something, but you don't understand my love. And Jesus is saying this of all of mankind, all of us. So we have to take parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, listen to Jesus now when he's pouring out God's love. Jesus said to his disciples, no one can be the slave of two masters. He will either hate the first and love the second, or treat the first with respect and the second with scorn. You cannot be the slave both of God and of money. I'm going to try and break down what money really means. You either are going to love God and trust God, or you're going to love money, which really basically means yourself. There's going to be either God on the one hand and I on the other. That is why I am telling you not to worry about your life and what you are to eat, nor about your body and how you are to clothe it. Surely life means more than food, and the body more than clothing, so that what's closest to me is my body and the things that I need so much, the food. But what is even more deep than all of that? Life. Surely life means more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He's trying to talk about God and God's concern for your body, for you, your Father. Now look, and what is he saying when he asks you to look at the birds of the air? That's really going to require reflection and thinking and prayer. That's what I'm going to invite you to do today. This contemplation is what it requires. Look at the birds of the air. You're going to have to sit down and think about this gospel. You're going to have to reflect it. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, these birds, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Can any of you, for all his worry, what is God concerned about? I don't want you to worry. Add one single cubit to your span of life. And why are you worried about clothing? Think of the flowers growing in the field. They neither have to work or spin. Yet I assure you that not even Solomon in all his regalia was robed like one of these. So when you're out mowing the lawn, just take time. Pick up a daisy and see how the flowers and in these little flowers, the beauty in every single flower. Not Solomon in all his glory was not like one of these. Now, if that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is thrown into the fire tomorrow, why will he not much more look after you, you men of little faith? Reflect and think, Son of God, daughters of God, how much God is all around you. What our Lord is asking for is to contemplate your Father, who is behind all of the things that are around you. So do not worry. Like a father, I don't want you to worry. Do not say, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? How are we to be clothed? It is the pagans who see and set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Set your hearts on his kingdom first, and on his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. So that the child of God, the one that he really is talking to today, you, me, you have to take the time. I would say, why not take this text in Matthew's gospel, these 10 verses, 24 to 34, and take an hour today to just contemplate it. one of the seminarians was here, and he was praying, he told me, for an hour the other evening, and he was sitting in the Jesuit garden here, and he saw a firefly. He's from California. He had never seen one before. The majesty of God and the beauty of God. Just here is this little firefly bringing delight to who is he? He comes to know himself by prayer. In prayer, God is saying to us, and this is what Jesus is saying, if you look around you, if you take the time to reflect in your prayer what God is telling you, so do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day will be enough trouble of its own. To stay right into the now. How many of us, if that's what Jesus is saying here today, because it is now that he is with us. It is now that we either trust him or we're going to place our trust in money. What, when you break it down, what does money really mean? It means if I sit to a meal, when he talks here about the food, if I sit down to a meal and I say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, and I really believe that it was my work and my money that put this food here on the table for me and for my family. No, God, you really didn't do it. I did it. In my daily thinking, in my daily life, it is I am so completely and totally self-reliant. You, God, yes, you may be there, and I may call on you once in a while, but I really, in daily life, disdain you. I really don't have the same awareness of who you are and with regard to myself. The self-reliant person is exactly going to have happen to her or him because I will wind up worrying. If I am God, if I am the source of it all, you heard about the farmer, and this pastor was out telling his farmer when he was looking at his farm, at the beauty of the corn as they grew in the fields and the beauty of the farm that he had. And he said, you know, this is a God-given event here that we're celebrating. And he was blessing his house and his farm. And he said, this is from God. And the farmer sat back, kind of a person who just was kind of an ordinary Joe. And he said, you know, Reverend, he said, you should have seen this place when God had it by himself. I was the one who did the plowing. I was the one who did the planting. I was the one who am here enjoying this with you. You're saying God did it? I did it. That kind of I is what Jesus means. It's he who is God gave me all this power. All of this is through me. And unless I really take the time to see the difference of the eyes, I'd like to just pause and again point out the different eyes. You see, when Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon, who is that other that we're going to serve? If I don't serve God, I wind up serving the I. There's three I's. I am the I that others think I am. From the time we were born, people said this about me and saw this. It's what my mother said. It's what my father said. And some of us, according to that first I, have a very high opinion of ourselves. Oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, you're so strong. Oh, you're so pretty. And we live on that external level of the I, what others see in me. then it sometimes goes deeper. I am the I that I see myself to be. That's who that farmer was. And that's who many of us are. What made Scrooge Scrooge? Money? No, it was the I. I got all this money. I'm the one who worked. I did all this hard labor. The I. What made Tiny Tim Tiny Tim? Because of who he was and is. It's the third I. The I of who I think I am is, and the deepest I is the I that God sees me to be. I was made by him. I am his child. I am his daughter. I am his son. God is the one who created me, designed me, and sustains me every single moment. The I whose heart is beating, who's breathing, who's living life is the I that he gives me. And so much does he love me. He doesn't want me to worry. That's why he's talking to us this way today. Albi al-ibni, my heart is for my children. I don't want them to worry. I want them to trust in me. That's how this sermon opens up, that Jesus is talking today. Jesus said to his disciples, you cannot be the slave of two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or he will treat the first with respect and the second with scorn. Jesus is teaching us, you cannot serve two masters. Why is he teaching us this? Because he wants to keep us from worrying. The person who is self-centered, self-adoring, that I become God, is taking upon himself a weight that is totally and completely unbearable. You cannot feed yourself. You cannot clothe yourself. You cannot do anything without me. And I am so close to you. I am nearer to you than you could dream. Last night I was with a beautiful, beautiful child and daughter of God. She had her husband, her mother was there, her sister, and her three children. And she was dying. You see, the truth of our lives is that every single breath is from God. And she's not an older woman. She would be maybe in her 50s. But she is dying. Every breath of her life, as she looks back and sees now what God is doing. And because of the magnificent and beautiful life that she had lived, I was in the presence, really, of a woman whose life was an example of what Jesus is talking about here. Even as she was dying, there was no worry about what she should eat, what she should drink, or what she should put on. There was no worry about tomorrow, because each and every moment that she is breathing, hearing. And when I was talking to her, I talked to her about going to God, that God, who had made her and created her, and seeing her in that bed from the moment that that egg was fertilized by that seed, and he blew into her that soul whom she is. And when she was born, and every day that she lived until now, today, Now, sufficient for you is the grace to live just today. Each of us, is this not the moment of your death? Is this the moment of your life? You cannot add to your span of life, Jesus says in his instruction. You don't have enough money to add to your life. When that time comes that he is calling you, that day will come for each one of us. You cannot serve two masters. You will either serve the one and hate the other. You either serve God or yourself. And so to meet someone so magnificently prepared to come to be before God, my life is open to you. You have been my Lord. She evidenced this many, many times by not worrying during her life. And she was evidencing this at the time of her death. And so it is with me and you. Take time today. Take time today to enjoy the flowers, to enjoy the birds, to enjoy the fireflies, just to enjoy whatever is around you. If God so loves this world that you see all around you, how much more important are you? Oh, you of little faith, Jesus calls us. And how important it is for me, for us, to take that time to reflect on this magnificent teaching of our Lord. You cannot serve two masters. You will either love the one and hate the other, or you will hate the one and serve the other. God is teaching us this because it's the truth about life. And Jesus wants us to know how much our Father loves us. He came from the Father, and he knows the Father's love. And he is teaching us about the Father. He himself lived completely and totally for his Father. And he is teaching us on a daily basis. Jesus only served the Father. He was the only one in our midst who completely, from the moment that he was conceived until the moment he died on Calvary, everything you wanted me to do, Father, I have done. That same Jesus who completely and totally surrendered to his Father is in me, and he is in you. And today he's telling us, serve God first. I will give you, within you, the power to do that. There's no reason why you, like that woman that is now dying, can't do that every day and moment of your life. Not just your dying moments, but your living moments. Every single moment you can do your Father's will because he is in you. What it will bring is a worry-free life because our hands are in the Father's. And when we come to die, just like this soul that is dying, what is happening to her? Jesus in her is suffering. Jesus in her is dying. The bed that she was lying on is the cross. The body that I saw in that bed last night is Jesus, completely transforming Jesus, dying Jesus. And when she breathes her last, she will live for all eternity because of Jesus. And so it is with you. If you're 15, if you're a 27, 8-year-old, whatever, if you're a grandparent, if you're thinking of going to Las Vegas for the weekend, whatever you are, wherever you are, He is with you. He is in you. And you have a power. And why does He want you to serve God first? Because He doesn't listen to the tenderness. Because He doesn't want you to worry. Because once you trust God, your life is worry-free. Every single moment. You don't worry about tomorrow. And you don't worry about yesterday. Just today. The I in you is not the false eye of what others see, nor the false eye of what you see, but is the true eye of what God sees. You are God's child. You are God's daughter. You really are God's son. Do not worry. Your Father has established a kingdom for you. And you are going to live every day of your life in this world and in the next. What a magnificent and wonderful life God has for you. Do not worry about your life, what you eat or what you drink or what you put on. Your Father knows you need all these things, and He has supplied them for you.
I don't know what to say, Monsignor. Any final thoughts?
Do you know what she said to me when I told her? And we looked at each other, maybe for the last time in this world. She said to me, "There are no words." That's what she said. The same thing. There are no words. God bless.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this program or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.